Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson. It's Monday, and you know what that means. It's time for Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network. On tonight's show, we will talk with Indiana Cutters defensive coordinator Jay McCool. We will talk IU men's soccer, IU football, the Indiana Pacers, the Indiana Fever, the Indy 11, Indianapolis Indians. We will have our Big Boys Moving High School scoreboard update, and we will look ahead to the week in IU athletics. So let's talk sports. We'll start with IU men's soccer beating Marquette 2-1 in the NCAA third round in Cary, North Carolina on Thursday night. The Hoosiers got two goals in the second half from Herbert Endele and Mabune Gumwale, as Marquette got the first goal from A.J. Franklin at the 43-19 mark. Endele scored at the 70-47 mark, and then at 79-31, Gumwale scored to give the Hoosiers the win. There were 11 yellow cards in the game. Indiana is 11-1-1 on the year, and they advance to the Elite Eight this evening against Seton Hall in North Carolina. The College Cup semifinals will be this Friday, and the national championship game will be next Monday night. IU football announced that they will host Colorado State on September 5th, 2026. It will mark the first meeting between the two schools. Colorado State is in the Mountain West Conference. It's the second opponent announced for the 2026 season. The Hoosiers previously announced that Connecticut would play the Hoosiers in East Hartford on September 26th, 2026. The Indiana Fever opened the WNBA preseason with an 82-65 win Sunday afternoon over the Chicago Sky at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. It was the first Fever game in Bankers Life since September 8, 2019. Last year, the WNBA played the entire season and the playoffs in Bradenton, Florida. Tierra McGowan had 12 points, rebounds. Kelsey Mitchell had 14 points for the Fever. Victoria Vivians had 12 points and 6 rebounds as well. Tiffany Mitchell and rookie Chelsea Perry out of Tennessee Martin added 16 points apiece. The Fever and the Sky will play Tuesday in Chicago at 4:30 Eastern Time. The Fever opened the season this Friday night in New York against the Liberty, and then they will host the Liberty next Sunday, 2 o'clock at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Indiana Pacers are 31-36 and second in the Central Division. The Pacers lost at Washington 154-141, lost to Sacramento at home 104-93, beat Atlanta at home 133-126, and lost to Washington 133-132 in overtime. This is the final week of the regular season for the Pacers. At Cleveland tonight, tomorrow hosts Philadelphia, hosts Milwaukee Thursday, hosts the LA Lakers on Saturday, and then close it out versus Toronto in Tampa, Florida on Sunday. The Indianapolis Indians opened the 2021 minor league baseball season with a 2-3 record against the Iowa Cubs this week. They beat the Cubs 3-0 on Tuesday, lost Wednesday 8-3, beat the Cubs Thursday 5-4, lost to the Cubs 4-3. Saturday was postponed due to weather, and then lost on Sunday 2-0. The Indians will return home tomorrow to play Toledo. Their series goes Tuesday through Sunday, and you can see a couple of those games on MyIndyTV, Channel 23 in Indianapolis this week. The Indy 11 soccer team lost the home opener Saturday night to FC Tulsa 2-0 at Michael Carroll Stadium on the IUPUI campus. The 11 are 1-1 on the year with 3 points. They are off this Saturday. They return to action Saturday, May 22nd, when they host Sporting Kansas City at 7 o'clock, and you can catch that game on my Indy TV Channel 23. High school sports time. Let's check the Big Boys Moving High School scoreboard. Big Boys Moving serves you with an attitude of gratitude. While in high school softball, Edgewood beat Northview 5-4, beat Greencastle 20-1, and Monrovia 4-1. Bloomington North lost to Center Grove 2-1, Northview 14-2, and Bedford North Lawrence 12-1. The Cougars are 6-10 on the year. Bloomington South lost at Linton 7-6, and at Seymour 12-3. The Panthers 7-6 on the season. In high school baseball, Edgewood is 9-7, beat Northview 4-3, and gave Coach Bob Jones his 500th career win at Edgewood. The Mustangs competed at the Hall of Fame tournament in Jasper. They lost to the host Jasper Wildcats 2-1 Friday night, came back Saturday, beat New Palestine 9-3 and Daleville 15-3. Bloomington North beat Bedford North Lawrence 5-3, split with South Dearborn, lost Game 1 19-5 in 6 innings, beat South Dearborn 7-3 in Game 2. Bloomington South lost to Franklin 6-4 and beat Crawfordsville in a doubleheader 5-4 in 8 innings and 11-5. Boys golf, Bloomington North lost to Avon 337-357. Edgewood lost to B&L's A and B teams 206-174 and 206-161, and they tied Brownstown Central 206 apiece. Bloomington South was 6th at the state preview at the Perry View Golf Club. And in boys and girls track, Bloomington North girls beat Bloomington South 70-62, and the boys beat Bloomington South 90-42. That is a look at your high school scoreboard update brought to you by Big Boys Moving Company. When we come back, we'll talk to Indiana Cutters defensive coordinator Jay McCool. This is Talking Sports with Nick Jengison on the South Central Indiana News Network.
Are you concerned about your life insurance coverage during these uncertain times in history? I'm Adam Beasley with American Senior Benefits right here in Bloomington, and we can help you find the best coverage for you and your family. We work for you to find the best plan out of more than 150 companies. We can compare your existing coverage or start a brand new plan. From newborn to 89 years old, from term to permanent, we'll find what's best for you. Call us at American Senior Benefits, 812-631-2305.
When you're preparing to buy a new home, the last thing you should have to worry about is the safety of your possessions. Allow Big Boys Moving to professionally oversee the transport of your precious belongings. Big Boys Moving is locally owned with years of experience. Whether your relocation is local or long distance, allow Big Boys to move you with an attitude of gratitude. Call today, 812-947-1479, or online at bbmoving812.com.
Welcome back to Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network. It is time to welcome in my guest. He is the defensive coordinator for the Indiana Cutter semi-pro football team. Jay McCool is my guest. Coach McCool, great to have you. Thanks for joining me.
Nick, hey, thanks for having me here. Look forward to having a good conversation with you this afternoon.
I appreciate that very much. Well, this is your first year back with the Cutters, but it's not your first overall season with the Cutters. You coached from 2010 to 2012, and you're actually the head coach of the Cutters in 2012. So how does it feel to be back in Indiana and back with the Cutters?
It's kind of like a homecoming for me in a sense. You know, I'm a Hoosier by marriage, I tell people. Originally from Texas. But yeah, we lived up here, my family, we lived up here in Indiana from 2008 to 2013 and had the pleasure of going to Indiana University to work on my bachelor's degree. And during that time, happened to find the Cutters, you know, as someone who wanted to be involved as the coach. I was able to cut my teeth. And then for, 2010 to 2011 season, I was a team assistant and assistant coordinator. And then 2012, the opportunity to become the head coach was there. I took it. I learned a lot of good, a lot of bad. And I feel like there's a little unfinished business because we fell short in the 2012 season of missing the playoffs literally by 1 point. If had we won our game the last season, we would have made the playoffs. And so it was one of those things. I felt 2013, we were kind of loading up to have a good year. And then thankfully our current head coach, Coach Anderson, he's the one who took over after I left and he got the job done. So I feel definitely there's some unfinished business and I'm looking forward to getting on that road to a championship for sure.
In your couple months that you've been back with the team, have you noticed the differences from when you coached years ago to coaching now?
A little bit, it's a different culture, a little bit of different identity. It's great. And the reason I said it's like a homecoming is because there's actually some players that are still here from when I was here 10 years ago. Nick Land being one of them, Dre Key, Chris Brummett, Furr, DJ Stevenson. And so just seeing some of those guys, it's kind of like, hey, it's great to see some familiar faces for sure. So yeah, it's one of those things, coming back to this area, seeing it. I think I answered your question.
You also have one guy that played against you in Texas, Dex Grimble, moved up here, joined the Cutters last season. What do you remember about him? Because Dex is one of those very athletic guys and can play multiple positions.
Yeah, and so as soon as Coach Anderson announced officially that I was coming to the team, and then Dex reached out and said, yo, hey, we actually played against you. I was the owner of the Central Texas Dragons for the previous two seasons, and he played for a team called the Lone Star Bandits. And we had the pleasure of playing those guys twice in the preseason for our annual toy drive game. And from what I remember from the film, he told me, he's like, hey, I was this number. And I said, okay, and I went back and looked at it. And yeah, diverse athlete, really good. And they were a good team because we started out as a brand new team. Our first year, played him close. And both years, we played him close. But, the biggest thing for me was it was charity. The real winners were the kids getting the toys for the toy drive game. But as far as Dex's ability, I'm glad he's on our team because he is definitely an asset, definitely a weapon, definitely an athlete for sure. Now, I don't get to see him a whole lot on my side of the ball. So that's for the offense to really make the most of his abilities for sure.
You coach the defense. You have Cameron Breedlove as your defensive assistant. So how has practices been? We had the preseason game with the Cincinnati Dukes, came up short, but with three sacks, a fumble, and interception, I know there's a lot of positives to take out of that game.
Yeah, definitely. Having Coach Breedlove on my side of the ball, it's great. It's going to be a paramount to our success because he was helping chart plays, helping me with the defensive rotation, getting guys in there. Like you said, the positives there, we had a couple sacks, we had an interception. I think we had a forced fumble, or that was on the punt, I believe. But still, just to, be able to get those positives, taking a loss in a preseason game, that's what you want. And so plenty of room to build on. I think the overall stats, our run defense was pretty stout. Our pass game, that's kind of where we had some shortcomings. But at the end of the day, we're going to build on that and get better. There's still always positive things that happen in a football game. So yeah, it's great to have coach there and it's great to get those positive. It sucks we didn't win, but I'd rather take our lumps now than in the regular season for sure.
You have several guys on defense that stand out. And the one guy that stands out to me was Kyle Franklin. He put a hit on the Dukes running back so hard it put a hole in his helmet. Have you ever seen anything like that?
All I can say is I'm glad he's on our team. In my years of coaching football, and I started out playing Pop Warner and, through middle school, a little bit in high school, but I moved around a lot. And then when I was in the military, I stayed active doing things. And then, of course, semi-pro for the last 10 plus years. And I've seen some hard hits. I've seen some face masks get bent and some things like that. But I have never ever seen a helmet implode like that. And it was very interesting to see that. But the biggest thing is I'm glad the other player is okay, because player safety and player health is the most important thing we do. But yeah, like I said, I'm glad Rex is on our team for sure. That was the shot heard around the world. And I hope we can use that as kind of our rallying cry. I hope he got to keep the helmet as a trophy. Personally, that'd be a great keepsake.
I know he had pictures on Facebook with it. So, they showed it to him after the game and everybody was taking the pictures and all that stuff. I didn't see the hit. I heard it. And then what was funny was seeing the train come through right after that hit. So, yeah, that was a moment I will never forget for sure. You coached in Texas for several years. You owned a team. What is the experience of owning a team like?
Yeah, so being a team owner, it really comes down to, just like anything else, how much effort you put into it, you're going to get out of it. And in semi-pro, it's a little bit harder because, we're self-funded, and I know the cutters are the same way. We're always looking for sponsors, always looking for donations. And it's like, where's the money coming from? And I know you collect money from player fees and things like that. But yeah, it's definitely, it's really stressful. I think I got a few more gray hairs the last 2 years because of being an owner and a head coach. And so it has its challenges for sure. It's rewarding because, like I said, you get to help build a team in a community and provide an outlet for players, for coaches to come together and, have that one thing that they all love. And in our case, it happens to be football. So definitely it's fun. I can say now, I'm glad I'm kind of stepping back to a coordinator role so I can focus on that and not have to focus on all the other moving parts, because it does take a lot. It takes a team effort for sure at all levels to run a successful team. And I can tell you the Cutters were here before, I coached with them, and they've been around since I think 2007, 2008. And that's a testament to the organization for sure. So I'm glad to be part of this organization. And I tried to model a lot of what the Cutters did when I was running my own team, as far as organizationally speaking. So that's a testament to this team for sure.
But we're going to take a break. When we come back, more with defensive coordinator Jay McCool after this quick timeout. This is Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network.
This is Danny with Weathervane Insurance Solutions. Not only is it especially important for our economy to support local businesses these days, but as your local independent insurance agency, Weathervane Insurance can shop you around with dozens of carriers to ensure you receive the most competitive price and, of course, the best customer service. Find us on the web at weathervaneonline.com. That's weathervaneonline.com.
I'm injury attorney Matt Lloyd. With an injury claim, don't leave cash on the table by not realizing all the Indiana laws that can help you. The insurance company won't tell you about them, but call me for a free consultation to learn all the important steps to get the best settlement. Call or text 812-333-MATT or go online to myinjurycase.com. Let's join forces and fight for a settlement that makes sense for you. 812-333-MATT.
This is Indiana University Senior Associate Athletic Director Jeremy Gray, and I listen to Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on South Central Indiana News Network.
Welcome back to Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network. My guest, Indiana Cutters defensive coordinator, Jay McCool. Coach, we were talking about your time as an owner in Texas. Of course, Texas, a huge football state. They love their football at all levels. So I can imagine that semi-pro football down there is just as big as all other levels of football.
For sure, it really is. Just like Indiana, the Hoosier State is known for basketball, Texas is a football state known for football. And, we're spoon-fed football at an early age. So, yeah, in Texas right now, I believe there's two or three leagues going on simultaneous. Any given time, in 1 year, a few years back, there were literally like almost 100 teams in the state of Texas, playing games. So, yeah, it's definitely on a big level. And you get a wide range, just like up here in Indiana, of talent, ability, good organizations, as far as owners and coaches. Yeah, football is big in Texas for sure.
The one thing that I've noticed while my time here in semi-pro football is these guys and fans, they get very involved in the game and they love to talk a lot. And I assume that being from Texas and Texas semi-pro football, there is a whole lot more talking than there is here in Indiana semi-pro football.
Sure, yeah, and arguably at every level of the game, any competitive sport, if people are passionate enough, trash talk and just talking is part of the game. One thing that I can definitely say about our team, the defense especially, the whole team, as I saw as a whole on Saturday, was our sideline conduct. We were very respectful, but after that big hit that Rex had, like we mentioned a minute ago, it's a momentum thing for sure, but everyone kept their cool. The Dukes were a great host, but everybody on both sides of the ball, both teams were very respectful. They maintain their composure for sure. But yeah, that's the thing, trash talking. If you're beating me on the field, but I can beat you between your ears by saying something about you, then I've already won. So, we just got to overcome that mental adversity, close our ears, open our eyes, and play football for sure. And I think our guys did a good job of that too. As you said, the score didn't reflect how close the game really was. You take away a couple plays here and things change. But our guys, no matter what, you know, we stuck it out. We maintained our cool, calm, collective mindset, and we played 60 minutes of football, and that's what it's all about.
You started your coaching career in Germany. You were in the military. So first off, thank you very much for your service. Second of all, what is your experience like coaching overseas?
Thank you for that, first and foremost. Yeah, I spent almost 10 years active duty, Army infantry from 1998 to 2008. And in 2007, my last duty station was in a place called Heidelberg, Germany. And I had the privilege of coaching the Heidelberg Lions, which was the high school team on base. And it was all military kids. Their parents were all in the military. And so that environment was great because you had great support from the community because that was the only game in town, so to speak. And then just from a coaching standpoint, that told me outright, hey, this is what I want to do professionally if I can. And if I could do it every day the rest of my life, I would enjoy it. You know, I wouldn't have a bad day at work, regardless of the outcome. But the community, the environment was fun. Thankfully, still over there because it was an American team. You know, the X's and O's were sound, design our run offense that got us to the championship game that year. And it was a great experience. So the football over there, you know, I think it's an untapped treasure, you know, for student athletes that are trying to make it to the next level. There's definitely guys there that are talented and could play next level. We, for example, we had a player, I'm trying to remember the guy's name. Kyle Olsis was the kid's name. And he was our place kicker and slot receiver / H-back. And the guy was not super big guy, but good athlete, hard nose, could kick 55 yarders in a game. And I think he actually ended up going to West Point. And so to that point, a little bit harder for those guys to get recruited over there. But football there has still played at a high level for sure.
As you mentioned, you're back in Indiana after a stint in Texas. What's the major differences between Texas semi-pro football and Indiana semi-pro football?
Wow. Other than the amount of teams at any given time, that's a big difference for sure. But the talent level, you know, I could argue that the talent level that here in Indiana, because there's fewer teams, you're going to get better talent on one team versus over there. You've got 10 teams all trying to fight for the same talent pool in some areas. So definitely putting together a good core unit and a good squad is one big difference as far as the talent level, because if you're able to get all those guys on one team, and I know Coach Anderson and Nick Land, the team president, and the other veteran players have done a great job recruiting players that literally are doing that, where they're maybe passing up two or three teams that are in their, you know, in their area to come play for this organization. So that's one of the biggest things. You know, the other thing, just the mindset, like I said earlier, you know, in Texas, we're kind of spoon-fed. Football is our sport. And so you get a lot of guys who play semi-pro who have some good football IQ. Not saying we don't have that here, but down there, because it's more embedded from Pop Warner and up, that the football IQ down there, where some guys could easily, barring, you know, one or two things in their life, could have played next level, whether it was talent or something personal. But I think that's a really close comparison here for sure. I know we've had a player or two when I was with the Cutters the first time, played for us for a season and then went to Indiana University and had a chance on the roster there. But it's just like anything else. It's the amount of work and effort that you put into it. And I think organizationally, we're a very sound organization. And so that's the biggest difference, is we've got good ownership here. Not saying we didn't have any in Texas, not saying I wasn't a good owner, but having good ownership for sure, good organizational focus and team leaders, you know, core group leaders, sure.
And one of the longest standing organizations in semi-pro football anywhere. The Cutters have been around since 2007, so it's a testament to the organization for sure. One thing that I've noticed since you have been back with the team is how you handle the defense and your demeanor. You're not a guy that yells and screams, but you're very direct and gets your point across to the guys, and they definitely listen to you.
Yeah, and you know, that just comes from time and experience of being a coach, but having a little bit of a military background, right? You know, in a combat scenario, you don't have time to talk about coulda, shoulda, woulda. You have to execute. It has to be second nature. And that's something I'm trying to work with our defense about, is communicate effectively, execute effectively, and everything else will fall into place for us for sure. If I'm sitting there talking to everybody about one thing for 10 minutes, barring a question or two asked, then I feel I'm just really just talking to hear myself talk at that point. And if I can't effectively communicate with the team and get my coaching points across within a timely manner, then I need to reevaluate what I'm doing and how I'm coaching it for sure.
We got the Lake County Warriors coming up May 22nd in Indianapolis. What are you expecting from that game? What adjustments defensively do you want to make?
You know, what I'm expecting from that team, you know, we've seen a little bit of film on them. Once again, another good team that has their stuff together, another good organization. And that, you know, the biggest adjustments for us going into this game in a few weeks is we have to come out firing on all cylinders out of the gate. This past game, it felt like we took a little bit to ease in and get comfortable and really start to settle. And it was too little too late. And so we've just got to come out from the gate playing 60 minutes of football. As far as adjustments, you know, yeah, we took a little bit of a hit in our pass game. We've got some things that we're going to work on in terms of scheme and technique to get better there. The run defense, we're going to keep that up, keep doing that at a high level. So it's just, you know, without revealing too much to anybody that's out there listening, we're going to work to get better. You know, all we can do is get those mental reps and get the physical reps on the field. And then I want the same energy. I want the same professionalism we had from our guys. I want the same conduct, the ownership. This last game taught us, hey, mistakes are going to happen, but accountability and ownership was better. And I told the guys, you know, we always point the finger at ourselves first, and that's coaches included, you know, coaches included. So just team and scheme a little bit and continue to get reps and get work and come out and hopefully have a better showing for sure to get that momentum before week one.
Well, Coach, I really appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll definitely do this again soon, and good luck and welcome back to the Cutters.
Yeah, Nick, thanks for having me. Thanks for being a part of this and giving us this opportunity. I just want to, you know, close out and say, you know, I'm very happy to be here. Great organization. Happy to work with Coach Anderson, Coach Malott, Coach Breedlove, yourself, and our core group of players. You know, I've been around football a lot, and I've seen a lot of teams, and I feel really this team has a lot of potential. We just got to play to it, and that's what it is. So thanks, Coach. Sorry for the long-winded rant. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it. My thanks to Jay McCool for being my guest this week. IU baseball is at Michigan this Friday through Sunday. Friday at 4 o'clock, Saturday at 2 o'clock, Sunday at 1 o'clock, and will be televised on ESPN2. Softball is at Maryland for the final four-game series of the regular season this Friday at 5, Saturday doubleheader at 2 and 4:30, Sunday at 1 o'clock. Track and field at the Big Ten Championships in Champaign, Illinois, Friday through Sunday. Rowing at the Big Ten Championships in Baraboo, Wisconsin on Sunday. Men's golf at the NCAA Regional in Tallahassee, Florida next Monday through Wednesday. Indiana baseball is 23-10 on the season. They went 3-1 over the weekend. Beat Rutgers 8-3 on Friday. Beat the Scarlet Knights 5-3 in 11 innings. Lost to Nebraska 7-6 and then came back Sunday to beat the Cornhuskers 4-2. Softball is 23-17 on the year. After sweeping Penn State in a doubleheader Friday and Saturday. Friday, it was a pair of walk-offs, 2-1 over the Lady Lions, and then 8-7 in Game 2 when Gabby Jenkins hit the walk-off homer to beat the Lady Lions. Saturday, IU more of the same, 4-1, and then 17-0 against the Lady Lions, again, to sweep the season series with one more to go in the regular season against Maryland. IU men's soccer meets Seton Hall tonight in the Elite Eight. It will be the third time ever that the Hoosiers and the Pirates will meet. The first was November 27, 1988, when Indiana beat Seton Hall 3-1 in the NCAA quarterfinals to advance to the 1988 College Cup. The Hoosiers also beat the Pirates October 3, 1987, 3-2 in overtime. Again, the winner goes to the College Cup semifinals in Cary, North Carolina this Friday with the national championship a week from tonight, 8 o'clock on ESPNU. And the men's golf team will be in the NCAA Regional next Monday through Wednesday at the Seminole Legacy Club in Tallahassee, Florida. It's the first time the Hoosiers have qualified for the NCAA Regionals since 2013 when they finished 13th in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and the 10th team appearance under head coach Mike Mayer. Thank you for joining us this evening, and thanks to our sponsors. On behalf of the entire team here at the South Central Indiana News Network, my name is Nick Jenkinson. Join us throughout the week on social media and every Monday night right here for more Talkin' Sports. We'll be right back.
was a production of the South Central Indiana News Network.